hope that no one to blow.
No dough, no show.
Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.
Sorry.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Gosh, not again.
All right, let's do this. Ready, boys and gals? So, Cobra first. All right. Cobra. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another, hopefully this time better, episode of Sequels That Should Have Been Made. I am here, always with my hosts, my brothers. Rob is delayed. He might jump in halfway through. Who knows? He's a wild card. That's Rob for you. But we have Jeff, the Butchers of Bakersfield.
This is the name of my Little League Pop Warner team.
Butchers of Bakersfield. What was your mascot?
Just a hatchet.
Was it Ben Richards?
Ben Richards was last.
That was the coach. Was Ben Richards.
He was actually on the helmet, just smiling.
Now, all of your Pop Warner players, did they have to wear the bomb neck bracelet when they played?
No, but we had the yellow and silver uniforms. Like
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Well, and then also we have the Monarch. Monarch, how you doing? Where are you coming from these days?
Today I'm coming from Bakersfield, actually.
Whoa.
Yep.
Catching a Pop Warner's game?
I did. I caught a Butchers of Bakersfield Pop Warner's game this afternoon. Everyone's social distance. It was pretty boring. Not much action. But it is hot as balls.
Woo! It is very hot. Very hot. But for this episode, we are going to be doing another Stallone. We love Stallone. We were just talking about it. Every other episode is a Stallone one. But you can't go wrong with Stallone. So we are doing his, they're coming out in 86, 87? I think it was 86.
Yeah.
86. Cobra. Cobretti. Oh, just him and his aviator glasses and his match for a toothpick that he put in his mouth.
He actually gets to use the toothpick too. I mean, it does come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he always has to be prepared.
And those black gloves, you know, those O.J. Simpson black gloves.
The glove don't fit. You must quit. I wonder if that's the O.J. must have watched that Cobra before he.
You know he did. You know he probably auditioned for the part.
He was always on his mind, those gloves. He goes, one day, I'm going to use those gloves.
I'm going to try to get out of this Norberg funk, you know?
Yeah.
Norberg was the best part.
O.J. had his goal and he did it. But, all right. So, Cobretti. For myself, it's been a while since I've seen this movie, and I didn't have a chance to watch it, being very transparent here. I didn't have time to do my homework on it, but that's why we have the Monarch. Well, the Monarch knows the movies, like the back of his wings, and he's going to give us a nice little synopsis.
Yeah, I mean, if you do recall, Dan, we did go see this at the movies back in 1986, so that puts me about 9 and you about 8.
Well, you know, it's a proper movie for an 8 and 9-year-old to go see. And the cool thing was, I think we've seen every movies in the 80s and 90s at the movies. So
yeah,
we have that experience.
Definitely a lot of memories. But it
pays to have a grandma who will buy your tickets for you, even if it's like rated NC-17 or X. She didn't give a fuck. Yeah. She just wanted us to get out of her hair.
The movie worker will be like, I don't think this is appropriate. Just give me the goddamn tickets.
her more cigarette hanging outside of her mouth. The ash just falling in the popcorn. What are you talking about? Give me the tickets. I'm their goddamn grandma.
All right. So let's give a little synopsis of this movie, Cobra. I mean,
Hold on, Marnik. Before you get started, just for the audience, could you give a name to the cricket in the background so I don't have to edit it out?
His name?
It's a special host we have.
Charles the Cricket?
Charles the Cricket. All right. Sweet.
I can't help it. I don't know where it's at. So even if I had my headphones going, you'd still hear it. So let's give a little synopsis on Cobra. So this movie was made in 1986, a classic 80s action movie. I mean, the movie starts off with Sly Stallone. You just hear his voice. Every 8 seconds, there's a murder. Every 232 minutes, there's a rape. You know, and you see, like, you see his Cobra gun with his Cobra handle, you know, his 45. So this movie really is about some underground, cult. Let's call them
they
that.
They were a cult, yes.
Yeah, they were, you know, they basically want to kill the weak and bring up this. It's like Darwinism, you know, strongest survive.
Sounds and like the Nazis.
Yeah, so I was like, before I watched this movie again, you know, I was like, why are these so the movie, you see these guys with axes, ching, 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 and they're like doing a little ching, ching, ching gang, you know?
Wait and a I was minute. Like, was it an Asian gang?
You said that.
His original Taibo workout in the garage.
Like, but I was thinking before the movie, I was like, all I remember is that this is like, basically hobos, you know, coming up with like a cult or something. But if you look in the background of that scene, there's some bald dude wearing a suit. So, you know, there's rich and powerful people part of this cult as well. But everyone you see in this movie is nothing but white trash.
Did the bald guy, did he have an axe too?
He did. It was pretty funny. You just have to watch it and just keep an eye. He has like a brown suit on and he's like kind of like balding on the side, you know, or on the top. So the movie starts out, you see him like, you know, riding a motorcycle and he stops at a King's Market and, you know, this dude walks in there and he just like starts bumping everything and like, you know, people are like, what are you doing? And he pulls out a shotgun and he starts shooting up the place. Next scene, you see the cop cars and you got the guy from Hellraiser, the main actor in Hellraiser. I forgot his name, but he's like holding up he's trying to negotiate. And it's funny because he's negotiating and there's like no response. And the captain comes out and goes, call the Cobra.
He said, call Zombie Squad.
No, he says, call Cobra. Call the Cobra.
Call the Cobra. And then other people are going, when did we start raising snakes?
And so next thing you do, you see, it's like the preview you're just watching, Dan. You see him pull up in his 1950s badass silver car, which is a pretty badass car.
But did you, when he pulled up, did you see what his license plate was?
It said, Awesome 50. but that has like, it's like, has nothing to do with his personality, you know? It's like, is he like some like surfer dude on the weekend or something like that, you know? And then on Monday he puts on the jeans and the leather, you know? I don't know.
I think it would have been better if he would have rolled up in like a Woody, you know? Yeah. Surfboard on top.
But then, so they call in the Cobra and the Cobra goes into the store and, you know, I mean, a lot of the movie takes place in the store, it seems like, but you really get to know his personality in this store. So, you know, he doesn't go around back. He just goes right through the front door, you know, just kind of walks through the front door. And so the maniac, you know, has the hostages and things like that, you know, and then him and Cobra finally have a little conversation. And, you know, one of the funny lines in the movie is like, the guy's like, I need a camera, man. I want to talk, you know? And Cobra's like, do you want to talk? We'll talk. I'm a sucker for conversations. Just stupid lines like that. And then
it was nasty when he grabs the Coors beer, a warm Coors beer, and drinks it. I was like, ugh, damn.
He takes the matchstick out and he pops open the Coors and takes a sip, you know? And yeah, but he doesn't look like a much of a drinker because I would have been popping them all, just sticking them in my, you know, my jacket or something.
Well, they just did that. Like, oh, he's relatable. Look at him drink this Coors, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was a perfect Pepsi and Coors was perfect product placement. So, so eventually, you know, I got a bomb, you know? So at that point, Cobretti says, you're the disease and I'm the cure, and throws a knife and sticks the guy and shoots him too.
Yeah,
he hits him and then he shoots him. And he saves the day, you know. But
I would like to be the internal affairs that interviews that Cobra, that homicide for Cobra, and saying, at what point did you think you need to use your knife and gun?
I had to do what I had to do. What are you talking about?
So the movie kind of goes on from there, and you know, it kind of links into, you know, you see the newscast, and it's like the night slasher, you know. And you know what the funny thing is, and not funny, the 1986 we had the Night Stalker actually killing people in the LA area. So it kind of falls
Richard
more.
Ramirez.
They used it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that guy, kind of, the guy in the grocery store looked like Richard Ramirez.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw him on an Aflac commercial. He's much older.
Yes. Richard Ramirez.
So I mean, you get the, you know, you got this night slasher again, just killing random women. And most of the killings were like, they were like in the car, you know, like he bumps them and then stabs them. And then Bridget Nielsen, at the time it was Sly Stallone's wife, she happens to be driving by and gets a good look at the killer. And one of the helpers in this underground cult, Darwinism, cult, basically says, "You get the license plate? Did you find her?" And so they eventually try to kill her and all that good stuff. And so the movie is just kind of basically chase scene after chase scene, classic 80s, you know, like, you know, kind of like that montage of music, and you see him like kind of walking through the streetlight, you know, like looking for suspects, kind of like in Rocky IV. Remember after he lost, and he's like having those flashbacks.
Nights on fire, heart's desire.
But the song in Cobra was
whatever. Angels don't ruin
of
my
the
gig.
City, angels of the city.
Yeah, angels of the city. And you just see him walking into strip joints, grabbing bartenders, you know, trying to find the killer.
But hey, I was wondering, there has to be like an album out there of just like 80s montage music, like compiled together. There has to be.
Well, just watch every Stallone movie. There's some,
no, but the convenience of you just going on, I want to get this album, 80s montage album, and then the music. I got to look that up. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. So, anyways. You should just keep singing that while I do this. So, now so they try to kill the girl. It fails. Of course, you know, they call in the zombie squad. And let's kind of talk about that zombie squad. It's just basically Sly Stallone and his partner, who's kind of in the background all the time, to watch over. And everywhere they try to go, they almost get killed. And at the end, they're like, held, and I say this at the end because the movie's only like an hour and 20 minutes. And they go hiding out in like what some, I would say, Central California, maybe even Bakersfield, Jeff, you know, place, because there's a lot of fields and orange groves and fruit trees and shit like that. And some small place or some small little town like that.
I was thinking Modesto.
I had a Modesto feel. I did have a Modesto feel. And so, like I was saying, the one girl is basically she's a cop, but she's part of this cult, and she gets assigned to help watch her. And she of course tells her cult people that where she's at. And so basically right there, you know, you see the motorcycle gang coming, big old, probably about 40 or 50 motorcycle dudes, and the killer come riding into town, killing the town sheriff. Then all of a sudden they start shooting up the motel. All Sly Stallone has, or Cobra has, is a little machine gun. You know, they I don't know where he got it from. And and his 45.
It was his police issued machine gun.
Well, if you're part of the zombie squad, you get access to the evidence.
You get your Mac 10.
You get an Uzi.
I did like how described that as like Blazing Saddles, where they came hooping and hollering into the town.
Damn. We go rumping in a stumping, riding in a shooting. What do we do with the women? We rape the shit out of them.
At the old number nine play that dance. Anymore.
We shoot the women? No, we rape the shit out of them. So anyway, so you know, this becomes again a classic car 80s chase. He's in the back of a truck. Bridget Nielsen is driving, just swerving, but he doesn't lose his balance. He's like surfing, you know, like on Teen Wolf, you know, on top of the bus or whatever. Yeah. But he's like doing that, but shooting all these biker guys. And they wind up in a orange grove. We'll just call it that. But they call it a grapefruit grove, which I've never heard of. I guess they're out there. And like you kind of questioned, Jeff, earlier, is that there's a freaking metal steel mill in the middle of this grove.
But Monarch, was that the same place we saw at the beginning where they were all doing the ching ching?
I don't believe so.
It probably was filmed there for budget reasons.
But that's what confused me when I was younger, when I remember watching this when I was little. I was like, wait a minute. Why, if that's their like headquarters and they're trying to get away from them, why did they drive all the way to their headquarters and now they're in that warehouse with
you
them?
Know what?
Didn't make sense to me.
It could have been.
Danny, they were just at a random storage unit filming the axe scene. Had nothing to do with the steel mill later in the orange.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, so
maybe like, I took it too literal.
Well, I mean, like, so like the movie is kind of confusing when they're doing the Moshtosh Angel in the city. You're thinking it's like weeks, you know, he's like hunting the city for weeks.
It's like an afternoon.
It's like, and then they're like, when she got like, after she was attacked and she survived, they're questioning her in the hospital. And he was like, have you seen anything? And she was like, yeah, tonight I saw the sky. And I was like, that was like a week ago. What are you talking about? You know? Yeah. And it was like, I saw him around 8 o'clock. And it was like, wow, Sly, you're out there quite a bit between 8 and 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, trying to investigate this thing. But anyways, so yeah, so basically, you know, it comes down to, you know, the main bad guys are the last ones to die. And then you got the main night slasher, you know, calling out Sly Stallone with his badass knife. Remember that knife?
Oh, yeah.
Had all those bikes on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That
was
he sharped it for a good 2 minutes in the movie.
They must have shown 50 scenes of him sharp. Yeah. And then he's like cutting his finger with it.
Yeah, that hurt. Wow.
And then, you know, like he wants to fight Sly Stallone, you know? And so he's like, hey, pig, I want to bleed with you, pig. You know? And so like, you know, one of the good lines was, you can't shoot me, pig. I have rights too. I'll plead insane. And he was like, this is where the law stops. And I begin. So there's a little tuffle, and it's probably one of the better death scenes in a movie. And I didn't see it coming. There's only that giant hook swinging by for like 20 minutes in the fight scene. And Sly Stallone, you know, all 5'8" of them, picks him up and just sticks him on the hook. And he goes, burns into the melting fire. You know what? I think that place is where Terminator 2 took place.
I was just thinking the same thing. Did he give at the end? He gave him a thumbs up.
I actually saw. You actually see in the background a thumbs up.
It was the grapefruit field was owned by Skynet.
They juice themselves those grapefruits. Rob's well, in.
You know, like one of the weird things about the movie is that, you know, the zombie squad pays well because he lives in Venice Beach on the water. His office looks out to the water. And then, you know, I mean, he has a modest apartment and on a cop salary. And he probably has a $100,000 car.
Yeah, but Monarch, he budgets his food. You realize
that's right.
He eats a slice of a slice of a slice. Yeah. So that's where that's how he's able to get it on a cop salary.
Yeah. And, you know, and then, you know, and he hides his gun kit. He doesn't hide his gun. He hides his gun kit in the freezer in an egg carton.
Yeah. Well, who would look in an egg carton in the freezer?
I think he's really cheap.
And that egg carton is only 6 eggs.
You know, so I'm a little confused of the zombie squad because they do mention it a couple times in the movie. And, you know, I'm just getting this feeling there is no other members of the zombie squad except his partner, Garcia Gonzalez, who actually played a Gonzalez in Dirty Harry. He was Dirty Harry's partner.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which one? Didn't all his partners get shot or die?
Yeah, he got caught. He got shot. He actually died in real life. That actor, he actually died August 1st.
This year?
Yeah.
Damn, everyone's dying. Yep. But also, there's the whole like weird like thing in this movie about food. Like Stallone's like caught up on everyone eating bad food because you have his partner Gonzalez eating all the like the bad candy and all the time. And then when they went to that Modesto, I guess is what we're gonna say that they went. she's eating like the French fries. And she's squirting the ketchup on it, and you see Stallone's face. He's just looking at her like this is.
You're drowning your fries. What are you doing? You're drowning your fries.
Any health nut eats a slice of a slice of a slice of a pizza. That's how it should be done.
We all know that.
This is my new diet. I'm going to write a book. It's called A Slice of a Slice of a Slice of a Pizza Once a Day.
Carbs and you.
And everyone in out there in podcast land, we want to welcome Rob. Rob has entered the conversation. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Happy to be here.
Your mic working or what?
I got some new headphones, some wired ones.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just finishing up the synopsis of Cobra.
Jesus Christ, it's been an hour.
Well, we're waiting for you for a while, man. But yeah, Cobra is a great movie. One of the lines that I recall is when after he kills the guy, he stabs and shoots the guy in the grocery store. He comes out and the news media is like, "Did you use obsessive force?" And he's like, "I used everything I had."
Do that to the boy's parents.
Hey, he pulls down the blanket covering the dead body and shows it to the reporter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Suck on this.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't do too well here in the United States, but worldwide it did like 180 million. So, I mean, yeah. It was a pretty significant, or about 100, I think it was, the budget was like 100 or 25 million and then made it like 180 worldwide. So it was a pretty good hit. I mean, it was not a great movie, but a slide movie.
It's an 80s movie. What'd you expect?
I mean, you like guns, you like murders, you like shooting,
you like titties.
There's no titties in this movie.
There was there was robot titties.
Yes, the robot
in the montage.
Yeah. So
all right. So that's Cobra. Cobretti, if you haven't seen it, rush out to your local streaming service and watch it.
What was his first name? What do you remember what his first name
was? Like
was?
Alice.
Co? His last name, Bretty.
It was a girl's name. It was like Alice Cobretti, John, or something like that.
No, it was
Felicia.
Marion Cobretti.
Marion Cobretti.
Lieutenant Marion Cobretti, at your service.
Hello. Could you put the sirens on, please? Woo!
This is what I do on the weekend. Angels of the City.
Yeah.
I got to infiltrate some gay bars.
The Blue Oyster.
You got it wrong. They infiltrate him.
Oh. And now you know how he got the name Cobra.
It's because of the hood on the tip of his snake.
Just look weird. Just had a weird very thing European. On it.
It involved braces. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, that's Cabretti, Cobra. And we have a sequel that we want to talk about. Jeff, why don't you lay the foundation for the sequel out for the audience?
So my sequel, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward stuff. You know, there's not another cult or anything to hunt like that, but we really want to find out what it was like to day in the life of Cobra and the zombie squad. So the LAPD got a special call from the TV show Cops. And they were like, "Hey, we want to do an episode with this crazy zombie squad that we've heard so much about on the news media, taking down this huge cult. Is there any way we could do it?" And so LAPD is like, "Yeah, definitely. We're going to introduce you to Marion, Lieutenant Marion Cobretti, and we're going to do this show." So,
affectionately known as Cobra.
So the producers of Cops had to really like pitch to LAPD. They're like, we're going to make it like a Sunday night special. It's going to be an hour or 2 hour long special. And it's going to be Cops, the Zombie Squad.
You thought Capone's opening of the safe was big. Zombie Squad.
Zombie Squad. And then I could just imagine Cobra's like superiors. Well, who was the guy in the movie Monarch that was like, you have an attitude problem?
Yeah, that was the guy from Hellraiser.
Yeah. He's like all worried. He's like, oh crap, they're gonna see all this obsessive force.
No, he wants to have
so they have like a scene. Cobra. They have like
get rid of Cobra.
Oh, he wants to get him fired. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could see him like, you know, I could see like Cobra, like, you know, day one, you know, Cops, day one. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. You know, Cobra walking into the station. Sorry, Jeff. I mean,
no,
this is yours.
Your thing.
Go ahead.
Because I was just going to have it as pretty mundane for like the whole movie is just him like waiting for a call to go out to do his zombie thing. And it's just him like,
yeah.
You see him at his desk, you know, just sitting there looking at the phone, you know, I can just see like the camera, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, like looking at him, looking at the phone, you know,
that kind of total, yeah, it's sort of like office kind of scenario, you know. One, we have to do the behind the scenes where like the producers of Cops is like telling them the rules, like, okay, we can't show this, we can't do this. And Cobra is just like looking at him like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. And then meantime, he's like, no, you know, I'm not listening to you at all. But it's like just him following him around the police station, like getting coffee. He has a slice of a pizza. And they're like, is this your lunch?
This is my slice. This is my pizza. This is my slice. Here's my scissors to cut the slice.
You see it?
See how I do it? This is how I do it.
I wrote my name on it. It says Cobretti. So no one else eats my slice of pizza.
Everyone knows that in the freezer, in the egg carton, there's a slice of pizza. And also the things I use to clean my gun. No one touches it. Because if they do, the zombie squad's going to get them.
So I could see them like, you know, them like doing like side interviews with other cops asking them about like Cobra, you know, and they're like, what do you think about the zombie squad? About that zombie squad. I don't think it exists. You know, I think he made it up, you know, like I hear about it. I hear him. They call him the Cobra, but I've never seen anyone else in the zombie squad.
Maybe one guy like, oh yeah, he gave me a business card with the zombie squad on it. And I was like, what the hell is this?
I think most of the episode, the documentary of Cops, they're just really trying to figure out what the zombie squad is. Like, it turns out it's like, is this something that Cobra made up and everyone just goes along with because they don't want to piss Cobra off? Like, oh yeah, the zombie squad. They're like, there's no such thing.
Yeah, so the reporter's like in there, you know, like, yeah, Lieutenant Cobretti. People are saying around here that the zombie squad doesn't exist.
What are you talking about? Zombie squad exists. I am the zombie squad.
Well, how about Gonzalez, who's in the hospital right now with a shot leg?
Gonzalez is part of the zombie squad, I think. He's just always kind of following me around. I don't know.
We really need to talk to him about his diet, though.
Yeah.
He's eating all those bad candies.
Yeah, you see what he eats? He just eats candy all day. A slice of a slice. That's all you need.
You could just see him like, what? This is the lieutenant's office.
Say hi, Lieutenant. Say hi, Lieutenant. See, there's a lieutenant right there. Hi.
This is Captain Mitchell's office. Say hi, Captain. Hey. Say hi, Captain. Yeah, this is the coffee machine. Eventually, we're going to get a call here, and I'm going to get to go to work.
Any minute now. And then... There's just like a lot of awkward scenes. Like you see people in the background, like just getting weird looks at the camera. Like when they're walking by, like, what the hell?
They're like, okay, well, you know, let's kind of like liven this up, but let's just go on patrol.
That's not what I do.
Nope.
When they need the Cobra, they call the Cobra.
I got the Cobra phone here. They point to a phone. It's just a regular phone. This is my Cobra phone. I don't go until that rings.
Well, you know. I really appreciate this. This ain't, you know, just not a busy day, you know, because I just killed about 50 bad guys the other day, you know. So, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you want
me
to do?
So many people, the city's been crime free for about 2 days.
You want me to start shooting up this? Do you start wanting me shooting up this police station? What do you want me to do? Want to go down to the jail? Want me to kick some ass down there?
There's an awkward scene with him just like playing with the matchstick in his mouth, just sitting there, just playing with it.
Then it lights off.
He puts it out. The scene goes on for like 5 minutes. Of just
oh shit. So, you know, I'm thinking like, probably what's going on is, so like, they're like, all right, well, I guess, you know, it's like 5 o'clock in the evening. We've been sitting in the police station. You haven't showed us the zombie squad office. It's just your desk. So let's hop in your badass car that they fixed in one day and drive to your house, and we could continue the interview there. So he's like, you know, like in the movie, how when he gets home, there's the cholos, you know, parked in the spot, you know, every time. So
he goes, he's driving home. He's like, hey, guys, you want to see some fucking action? You want to see some action?
So he just goes on a rampage.
He goes, I'm going to fuck with these cholos over here. Watch this. They're in my spot. I'm going to fuck with you. I always fuck with them. It's pretty fucking funny. What do you want me to fucking
do? They like it. They like it. They're part of it. It's a thing we have.
They play along with it.
So, yeah. Then, so,
why would you park in my spot if you don't want me to do it? You know?
What are you doing?
And then they're like, this is your spot? It's like reserved? I'm like, no. It's just everyone knows the neighborhood is my spot. You don't touch my spot.
It's my spot. What do you want me to do? It's my spot.
So,
I draw a cobra on my spot.
So he does the same thing. He bumps him and nothing happens.
Just one of those days. Nothing's going to happen. I thought they're going to like start shooting or something. I get to shoot them.
But I think they go upstairs and he's like, here, watch this. And he like the camera, he like pulls the blinds. He goes, watch them. They're going to do something. And they see the cholos outside. He goes, they're going to fuck with my car or something. Yo, watch. You'll see. And they're just standing against the wall, not doing anything. He's like, they're going to do something. Keep the camera. But nothing happens. All right. Well, never mind. Here. I want to show you how I clean my gun.
I got some pizza in the fridge. You could have a half of a half of a half.
I'd like to see him trying to explain why it's better to keep gun oil cold before you put it on your gun. Like,
yeah, so he goes into like the like 45-minute detailed procedure of cleaning your gun.
Step one, unscrew cap of oil.
Step two, leave gun oil out for 30 minutes until it reaches room temp after being in the fridge.
Let it solidify a little bit. You want it to solidify? If you don't, it's going to be bad.
You don't cheat and put it in the microwave. It'll blow up. It's happened.
Then all of a sudden, the camera people walk out the door. Cobra shuts the door. Roll credits. Angel of the city.
I just like there'd be so many interviews of like the fellow officers going like, yeah, he's not really fun to work with. Like, he's kind of a jerk. Like no one likes him.
Like, wait a minute. He's not going to see this, is he? Because I don't need him on me. I don't want him to be angry at me.
Yeah. You know what? We actually let him go many, many years ago, but he just keeps showing up.
Yeah. They interview the captain or the lieutenant. They're like, yeah, he has a attitude problem. He'll say it's this small, but it's actually this big.
It's small.
You see him at his desk, you know, you go back, you know, you see him at his desk writing down his sayings, you know.
Yeah.
You're the disease, I'm the cure. I like that one. That's a good one. Yeah, what are you doing?
Hey, Rook, come here. Come take down. I want to try this on you.
I'm the disease. No, you're the disease, and I'm the cure. Yeah, that's better. I like that. I like the way that went.
Hey, Rick, you want to talk? We'll talk. I'm a sucker for good conversation. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Write that down, Rook. Write that down. Write that down.
It's part of your journey.
I think half the day is him just picking on the rookies. He's like pulling out his gun. He's like pulling out his gun, stick it to the heads.
Hey, look at me. My first day. I got a gun to my head. What do I do? I don't know.
Like, stop it, Cobra. Like, stop it.
You see him like signaling to the camera.
Hey, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me.
Yeah.
This is going to be funny, guys. Watch this. You want to see this. Follow me. Follow me.
Puts a bucket of water over the door, you know.
Hey, Rook, come here. Come here, Rook.
And they know what's going to happen. They're like, oh, shit. Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Don't make him angry.
Do you know how many cops got killed because of this guy?
The captain's like, doing an interview, is like, actually, we should have arrested him years ago.
Actually, we should have arrested him yesterday for assault and battery in Grand Theft Auto when he punched the sergeant. And he stole the gang's motorcycle. He was a gang member and he was a bad guy, but he owned it and he stole it. He should be arrested right now.
As captain, what I like to tell everyone is he's holding us hostage with his results.
He's single-handedly keeping the morgue in business.
But I would have to say one thing about Cobretti. That boy could shoot.
He wears tight jeans.
This is my daily outfit, my jeans, my shirt, my gloves, my sunglasses.
They open up his closet. It's all the same wardrobe.
Same thing. He has mannequin hands with his gloves on him. Just everywhere.
What pair am I going to wear today? I don't know. Button or unbutton? Button or unbutton?
It's 110 degrees here, but I still wear the same outfit. I'm good. Like it intimidates people. What are you going to say?
As a member of the zombie squad, you got to look apart, you know?
Any of you guys want to join the zombie squad?
So, Cobretti, why do you call it the zombie squad? I was asking you, Monarch.
Sometimes I go a little blank. I get a little hit. Well, the zombie squad, it all started back in 1972. I just woke up one day, I was watching Dawn of the Dead, and I was like, that helicopter cop is like really badass. And I was like, yeah, that is a zombie killer. So I said, you know what? I want to be like that guy from Dawn of the Dead. I want to be part of the zombie squad. And I invented it right there. Just came like that. Dawn of the Dead.
I would like to see that in his apartment too, a poster of the Dawn of the Dead that they just pan to, but they never mention anything about it.
Yeah. But in the poster, he like crossed off Dawn of the Dead and he wrote Zombie Squad on it. Just like handwritten on it. There's like, oh my God.
That's my prototype for my logo.
This movie was fucking big for me.
So I see on your gun you have a cobra. So why didn't you decide to put a zombie on there instead?
My name's Cobretti. Cobra? Cobretti? Are you fucking stupid? What are you fucking talking about, man?
Marion Zombretti? Zombretti? Yeah, I'm not no Pisano. Zombretti? You crazy? I'm a Cobretti. We're from the north.
I'm a Marion Cobretti.
Why do you think I eat the pizza? I come from Napoli's. Cobretti's.
So Lieutenant Cobretti.
There ain't no Zambretti's in Napoli's.
What did you do before you joined the LAPD?
I work for a pizzeria.
So that's your real voice.
Well, yeah, at the pizzeria, you got to talk like this. To a pizzeria,
You talk like this. And that's why I make the Cobretti pizza. But nobody like it. Nobody would eat my Cobretti pizza. And so I got a job with the LAPD. They go, hey, yeah, the patrolman? The patrolman, he came into my pizza shop. He came into my pizza shop. He said, hey, you make a good policeman. And I said, yeah, I'll be. And they go, he goes, hey, what's your name? And I go, my name's a Cobretti. And he goes, there's no officer named Cobretti. And he goes, could we shorten that? And he goes, yeah, a cobra. Yeah, I could be a Marion Cobra. And he said, whoa, Marion. And he was like, no, it has to be Cobra. And so I said, a cobra. And then, you know, and now I'm a cobra. That's how I became Cobra.
It was like really for me, it was like turning the hat, you know, like turning that engine on, you know. And I was able to talk like this, though.
It's like I shut that pizza box that I put on the badge.
But I still go to Cobretti's Pizza every occasionally. I talk like that again. I make myself a pizza, and I cut it, in thirds and halves.
Because I want to make it last. You could say I'm kind of reliving my youth.
Cobretti's have pizzas. You get your pizza, I cut it. That's what I do. I cut it in half. That was my thing at Cobretti's Pizza.
Oh, shit.
Got the pizza slices. Got the pizza fingers.
Oh. And then how should this episode of Cops end?
Jeremy said it. They just walked out the door.
They never aired.
Next week's on Cops.
They just like, okay, we need to leave now.
All right, come back. Can't wait to see this. It's coming on next Sunday. We got nothing to do.
Unless that phone rings.
What are you talking about? Greatest show ever.
I think the last shot is just on him, then on the phone, then back on him. He's like nodding off, falling asleep. And he has a gun in his hand, the Cobra gun. He's just nodding off, falling asleep. Then goes to black and you hear the gun go off. Cobra!
It's sorry, just Lieutenant. A rookie. It's just a rookie. I hit the rookie. Yeah,
he's okay. He's okay.
Hey, it happens all the time. Get up. You make me look bad. Get up. Medic. Like medic. Gonna get a medic here?
You guys got anything else?
I think we need to redo it with just him doing that Italian voice. We have to redub the movie.
Oh my god, that'd be pretty funny.
The whole movie, you know, it's just like you see he's dubbed, but he actually talks like the Italian.
Yeah, it's a me, a Cobretti.
You are the virus. I am the cure. All right. I think that's a good one. That's a wrap. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful time. And remember, if you get a chance, visit our website. It's www.sequelsthatshouldhavebeenmade. Check out our Twitter page at sequelsmade, Instagram and Facebook at sequelsmade. All right. Until next time. Goodbye. Goodbye. Nobody would eat my Cobretti pizza.